Welcome to the Movement Church Podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. We want to be a place where you can own your faith and take next steps in your relationship with Jesus. Maybe your next step is to seek out a community and join a movement group. Maybe it's supporting movement financially for the first time or using your gifts on a volunteer team. Whatever God is calling you to do, our prayer is that you will step out in faith and let Him lead you. For more information about your next step, please visit movementcolumbus.com.
Well, let me just start by saying thanks for coming to church today. If you've never been in the head of a pastor in North Central Ohio or Central Ohio or anywhere here in the Columbus area, when the Buckeyes are playing, we have text threads where we're like, is anyone coming to church tomorrow? When there's a late game, people tend to not get out of bed. And when we're down at halftime, you're just getting crazy texts when people are like, I can't go to church tomorrow. I don't want to face anyone. The world is ending and all kinds of stuff. So thankfully, we won that game and you decided to be a good person, get some Jesus points and come to church. So thank you. If you know someone that's not here today, just make sure you make them feel awful and tell them that there are things in life bigger than football and act like you weren't thinking about not coming yourself, all right? So anyway, thanks for being here. As Sarah mentioned, we've been in a new series, a series these last 6 weeks, going through the book of Ephesians. And I want to just, as we get started, go straight to our text this morning and read out of chapter 6. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn there. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. There's probably a Bible under your chair or around your chair there. If you don't have one, we'd love for you to pick that Bible up and read along with us. And we're going to be on page 898 in those Bibles. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word, I'd love for you to even take that Bible home with you and have that to read and to study. We value that being in your hands, and so we'd love for that to be a gift to you. But let me read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20 on page 898. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 20 on page 898. It says this. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan and the good news, and that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. We've said these last couple weeks that as followers of Jesus, as Christ followers, we're given an extraordinary opportunity to change the world for Christ. And when we understand that Jesus gave his life for us and we choose to follow him and engage in the mission that he's put before us, it changes who we are and it changes the trajectory of everything we're doing and everywhere that we're going, because we know that Jesus designed each one of us with gifts to contribute to the mission that he has called us on. But if we're not careful, oftentimes as church people, as Christians, we can drift from that mission and we can drift from where he's calling us. And so we've spent these last 6 weeks talking about these six essential shifts that we think are laid out in this book of how we can make sure that we're living on mission, how we can make sure that we're engaging our gifts, and how we can know that we're staying on mission for Christ. And so our first week, we said that we need to go from more effort to more Jesus. We simply just said that it's not about us. It's not about who we are and what we do, but we said that there's nothing we can do to perform. We just have to know that we're not enough and we have to let Jesus be enough. Our second week, we said that we have to go from more independence to more unity and that we can't do this alone. And if we're trying to do this alone, we're missing the point. Week three, we said that we have to go from being full of ourselves to full of God. So maybe if you're taking notes and paying attention, you're like, man, doesn't he just keep saying this isn't about you, this isn't about me, this isn't about us? Yeah, that's kind of what this book is saying. And week four, we said we have to go from more hierarchy to more missionaries.
And so our life and the Christian life and Christian mission is not about winning awards. It's not about achievements. It's not about status. It's about knowing who we are and what we're called to do. And then last week we said that we need to go from more programs to more mission fields, and just knowing that our calling is to imitate God as we care for others, and our calling is to make every place and every space that we are into a mission field. And I already mentioned there seems to be this recurring theme, but a lot of these shifts that we have talked about really lend themselves to the fact that as humans, we're selfish. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. Some of you, it's your first week here and you don't want to be called selfish on your first week. So I'll just say that I'm really selfish and that you're a good person, all right? But sometimes as humans, we tend to be selfish. We tend to make things about us, and left to our own selfish thoughts and desires, we kind of stray off course. And so Paul is kind of breaking it down here in this last portion of scripture, and he's saying that when we decide to follow Jesus, when we decide to engage in that mission, when we decide to say, you know, I can't do this alone, we surrender our lives to him. But inevitably, we end up thinking, you know, I've surrendered my life to him, but I've got some good ideas of how I can make this still about me. I've got some ideas how I can be the most humble person ever, how I can be the best Christian ever. And inadvertently, we kind of stray and make things about us again. And so these final words of Paul are kind of saying, hey, don't overthink this, because as soon as you start thinking about how you're going to do this and how you're going to have a plan and how you've got a strategy, things become about you. In fact, someone has probably said the phrase to you, well, what's your strategy? What's your plan of attack? And the reason that your comes before strategy is that strategy is kind of just inadvertently selfish. And so we want to talk about the shift today that will take us from more strategy to more surrender. Now, strategy is this tried and true method. It's designed to make us go to a designated outcome, right? We've all got strategies that are at play in our life. If you're an Ohio State student or a college student right now, your goal is to pass your finals that are coming up this next week, or it should be at least. If I'm the first one bringing that up, that's really sad. But if your goal is to pass your finals this week, your strategy, I hope, is to study, maybe steal some notes from someone in your class that's smarter than you or actually attends class and pays attention. Maybe I'm just telling you what I did in college, but right, there's some strategy to achieve that goal. If your goal is to pay off your student loans, your strategy is probably to live on a tighter budget. Maybe you've got a part-time job to do that. If your goal is to be Joanna Gaines, your strategy is to shiplap every room in your white farmhouse. Some of you suburban people feel pretty bad about that. You're like, how does he know my life? I don't. I'm just mocking us, right? But if your goal is to be a musician, it's probably to write and record music. You're probably thinking about that. If your goal is to be an Instagram influencer, maybe your strategy is to buy 50,000 followers and start filming stories where you say, hey guys, and then tell them whatever wisdom you have, right? Whenever we've got a goal, there's strategy in front of us. And maybe none of those apply to you, but I'm assuming you've probably got some strategy to get a new job or to hit your sales incentives before the end of the year, or maybe to get someone in your movement group to fall in love with you. In some way, you're probably employing some strategies right now in your life that are working you toward a goal. And like I said, when we use the phrase your strategy or our strategy, it's often selfish and it's about us. And yet strategy is opposed to this word surrender, because surrender involves the release of control and the recognition that we aren't in control of things, and we don't control the outcome, and the outcome that we're heading toward is not really specified. And so surrender is the opposite. And this passage shows us that at the core of following Jesus, we surrender our lives and our wills and our thoughts and our emotions and the outcome of our lives to him. To follow someone is to surrender to where you're going. And the surrender that I'm talking about is actually found in three commands in that passage that we just read. And so I want to go back and outline them for us today and see what God wants to teach us out of this passage. And so the first command that you'll see there that leads to surrender was in chapter 10, where it says, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. The first command of surrender is to be strong. But when you and I think of being strong, we probably think of like, all right, it's time to start taking some supplements, get a personal trainer. Let's do this. Let's be strong. And this is not really like that, because when we're told to be strong here in verse 10, it's a passive verb. And so in other words, there's something that's done to Christians or to Christ followers or to the people that are reading this. And it's not something that we can do ourselves, But it's God who makes us strong as we put on this armor. And so we're told to be strong in his mighty power, which goes against how we view strength. So this passage doesn't say, hey, Mark, you're awesome. You saved the world. You've eliminated problems. You've brought peace to people. And no, in fact, it says, hey, Mark, you're not that awesome. And I'm not trying to talk you into depression today, but this passage is reminding us, hey, we left to ourselves are selfish and are nothing. But when we find our power and our might in God, that's something. I think often of when my kids will be around as they've been younger, and we'll meet someone. Maybe I'll run into like a high school or college friend, and they'll see someone that they don't really know. And so my kids will kind of, you know, go behind me and hide, and they're doing that thing where they're like grabbing your leg and pulling you over and making you fall. But what they're actually doing is kind of hiding behind you, right? They're not just out there meeting people and saying, hey, I'm child number three. What's your name? No, they're kind of afraid of that big, scary adult that they don't know, but they're finding their strength in your shadow or by hiding behind you there. And I think we can learn the same thing from this passage. We're not scared as long as we have something or someone to cling to or someone to hide behind or inside of there. We can look at this passage and say, what does it look like to shift from our own strategy to surrender? Well, we're told that it looks like this, to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Don't think about your own strategy. Don't think about your own plan. Don't think about your own strength. Find your strength in his might and his power. Second command here is in verse 11 where it says, put on all of God's armor. Now, maybe you've heard a message on the armor of God before. Maybe you grew up in a church where they even had some fake plastic armor of God that you got to put on at Bible school and talk about that. Maybe I just went to a really weird church growing up. I don't know. That's hard to say. But the second thing we're told is to put on all of God's armor. And this full armor of God is how we're strengthened and how we're enabled to stand. The first thing that we're told is stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. And the belt of truth is just this. It's the emphasis that the belt of truth is around the waist. And first century people would have thought of this as they were often wearing robes, and this would kind of hold together their whole outfit and everything that they were doing and everything they were wearing. And they knew that when they were called to action, that they kind of had to pick up everything, pick up the robe, or maybe hike up the skirt, as you may say now, and take off running. And so as Christ followers, we are called to mission, we are called to action, and we need to be ready for action. And so our belt helps us be ready for action. It's called the belt of truth because it involves being strengthened by God's truth and also a resolve to live the truth. If we're going to be ready for action, we have to be ready to live the truth that we know. We're also told to be ready with the breastplate of righteousness and the body armor of God's righteousness. This verse points backward to Isaiah 59:17 from the Old Testament, which says, he put on righteousness as his body armor and placed the helmet of salvation on his head. He clothed himself with a robe of vengeance and wrapped himself in a cloak of divine passion. God wears this himself. He wears his righteousness, and so the implication of this for Christians is that we should reflect the character of God in our actions. When people are looking at us, when they're watching how we live, when they're seeing our friendships and our work relationships and our marriages and how we carry ourselves, they should see God's righteousness in us. We're told to ready our feet with the gospel of peace. It says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. See, as Christians, we're agents. We're people who represent the gospel, who share the good news. And we spread love and we spread peace that comes from the message of the gospel. There's nothing more foundational than your shoes. There's nothing more foundational than your feet. That's why when I would walk behind my brothers growing up, I would just kick one of their feet into the other and trip them, and it gave me great joy, right? If you shove them up here at the shoulder, they might not fall down, but if you really want to pick on your little brother this holiday season, trip him at the feet, right? That's how you do that. That's the foundation. And so there's nothing more foundational, nothing more important than the gospel, than the good news. If we're going to spread love to the world, if we're going to spread peace to the world, if we're going to take hope to the world, we have to have the gospel as our foundation. Our foundation can't be that, hey, we're just trying to do some good stuff. Hey, we're trying to love people because that's the nice thing to do. No, everything we do, every way that we minister, every action that we have, and everything that people see in our character flows out of the gospel. It doesn't flow out of us. We're nothing special. But when the gospel is in our lives, that flows out of us as our foundation. Verse 16 says, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Now, the audience that would have been reading this would have been a part of the Roman Empire. They would have had this context of knowing that those soldiers would often carry these shields that were like 4 feet tall and 2.5 feet wide. And oftentimes an army would assemble and they would put a shield next to a shield next to a shield. And they would put a second row of shields and they would put them on the sides and the back. And they could kind of cocoon themselves in moments that they were being attacked, because there are moments when you're so attacked that you don't really have an offense, but you're just trying to stay alive. And so that's what a shield would have meant to this audience. They could create a wall that was nearly impenetrable as they were up against these arrows of their enemy. And so we're told to have a shield, but not just a shield of faith. Maybe you don't have faith in your own ability, but maybe you have faith that that shield will stop the attacks and do its job. It's not simply emphasizing your belief, but it's showing your belief in the two sides of that covenant and your relationship with God. It's saying, I have faith, not in myself, I have faith in my God. And I have faith that he is who he says he is, and he will do what he said he will do, and he will sustain me, and he will carry me, and he will protect me. And we're told, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Again, that points back to that verse from Isaiah 59. But the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, it's talking about the way the Holy Spirit carries God's word into our life and into our heart. It's not talking about the Bible. I don't know if you guys know this or not, but they did not have the perfectly leather-bound 66 books of the Bible that we have with a notes section that they could order on Amazon or walk into Target or walk into Costco and pull off the shelf and pick the color that they want and decide which binding they want and have that for themselves. No, oftentimes this early church had some circulated letters, but what they knew as their foundation was the word of God. What they knew as their foundation was the gospel. And so the truth of God's love and that God intervened through the work of Jesus is what would carry them. That's what they had faith in. Their faith wasn't in that they were good enough or that they were going to try to be good enough or hopefully they don't mess up this week so they can carry their own salvation. Their faith was that Jesus did what he said he did on the cross. And their faith was that that sacrifice of Jesus on the cross was enough to give us a relationship with God. And that foundation of the gospel is what would guard against attacks, what would function as a helmet, what would function as a shield. Because there are often times that we feel attacked. There are times that we feel down. There are times that we feel inadequate and we don't feel like we're enough. And you're not going to be able to give yourself a pep talk and say, no, you're good, Mark. You had a really good week. You smiled and you helped a kitten out of a tree and you're a really good person, Mark. No, our defense and our identity comes out of the gospel. The gospel is what elevates us. The gospel is what gives us new perspective. The gospel is what gives us hope. And the Holy Spirit lets that take root in our hearts and in our lives. And so what does it look like to shift from our own strategy to surrender? Well, the first thing is that we have to find our strength, not in our achievements, but we have to find our strength in who God is and what he does. We also have to put on the armor of God. See, it'd be crazy if God called us on this mission and said, hey, be strong. Good luck out there, guys. But he's given us the foundation of the gospel. He's given us this armor that he's built for us, that he's injected into our lives. And he said, I've called you to this mission and I've equipped you for battle. Yeah, there's going to be moments that you're attacked, but I've called you into this and you've got everything you need to be successful and I'm there with you. And so we're not just called to be strong and buck up and try to be enough. We're called to be strong in his might and his power and use the weapons that he's given us. What's the third command? Well, it's just this, to stand firm. It's said a couple times. It's said in verse 11. It's said in verse 14. And it's the key here. But all of these commands are plural in nature. These aren't commands to you and I just as individuals like, hey, good luck out there. You're in a war. Try to take some armor. Hope you can hold it together. No, these commands are plural. They're to our corporate body. They're to the church. And so our identity and our surrender and our battle is not as individuals who are out on an island and who are alone and who are in trouble. No, we're fighting this mission and this war with the strength of God, with the weapons and identity that he's given us, and we're doing this as a community and as a group of people who can support each other. And so when these verses say in verse 10, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power, put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. God's strategy for us is that we're together in community, that we can encourage each other in community, that we can fight this battle in community, and that there are moments that you don't even know you're being attacked and someone behind you has their shield and they're making sure that you're okay. And there are moments that they see that maybe you're a little down and they've got to look out for you and protect you. And there are moments that you see that someone else is down and you have to look out for them and you have to protect them. All of this calling is in community. And so our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against Satan and it's against his demons who are trying to attack us and whisper lies into our lives and get us to abandon this mission and walk away from this mission and think that this mission is pointless. But God gave us community to keep us on mission, keep us focused on our mission, to keep us encouraged in our mission, to keep us healthy, and to keep us safe. So if we were to just say today, hey, be strong, put on the armor, stand firm, good luck, and you were on your own, that'd be tough. God loved you enough that he didn't just give you his identity. He didn't just send his son. He didn't just give you this armor. He didn't just give you this foundation. He didn't just give you the ability to stand firm. He gave you community for people that you can lock arms with and stand next to and stay encouraged, and they can love you and you can love them and you can run after this mission together. So maybe as you hear these commandments today, you're like, yeah, I'm not really the strong type. That's okay. God is. Yeah, I don't really have this foundation and this armor. That's okay. God gave it to you. You just need to know your weapons and know what you've been equipped with. And you think like, yeah, I'm not really good at staying on mission or staying encouraged or staying in the battle. That's okay. That's why God gave you community. He didn't call this church in Ephesus to be perfect, and he doesn't call us to be perfect. He just calls us to keep our eyes on him as we run after the same mission, and he's equipped us with everything we need, and he's given us community to stay focused on that mission. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power and not your own. Know your weapons, put on that full armor and use it wisely. And stand firm. You'll notice that most of those phrases, all of those phrases, aren't about us. I've already mentioned that these three things lead us to surrender, to say, I'm not enough, but God is. I can't fight this battle, but God can. I can't stand firm, but God's given me community where I can stand firm. Maybe you'd say, I've never really surrendered my life. If you would want to talk about what does it mean to surrender your life, we'd love to talk to you today. If maybe for the first time you're realizing that sometimes we take our eyes off of Jesus and our lives are leading to nowhere, they're wandering to nowhere, and we're lost in ourselves. We're lost in our own selfishness. We're lost in our own sin. But God didn't want us to be lost in sin. And so he sent his one and only son, Jesus, who gave his life for us. And through the sacrifice of his life, he's able to pay the price for our sins so that we can know God, so that we can be found in him, so that we can have faith and identity and be anchored in him and have hope for the future. And as a response to him giving his life for us, we can live our lives for him. That's what surrender looks like. That's what the gospel looks like. That's what a foundation of surrender looks like. And that's a one-time decision. That's a beginning decision when you decide to follow Jesus, but that's also an ongoing decision to say, Jesus, today is still not about me. Just like yesterday wasn't, and the day before that, and the day before that. And so I could wake up this morning and try to be tough and try to be great and try to be enough for my family and the people that are looking to me, or I could just admit that I'm nothing and I could find my strength in you. And I could try to hold off these attacks and be Mr. Tough Guy today, or I could just admit that you've given me the weapons I need and I need to depend on you for my armor. And I could try to hold off the enemy and or I could just admit that I can't hold this life together. And so I'm gonna stand firm in you. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus and you feel like you don't know his power, you don't know the weapons he's given you, you don't know the call of the mission on your life, or you don't feel like you can stand firm, we'd love to talk to you back at the tables in the back about what that looks like. Maybe you've been running after Jesus, you've been in this mission, but you just feel like you're trying to do it all on your own. I wanna remind you that we wanna go from strategy and from our own plans and to making things about us to surrender, where we don't control the outcome, but we know that Jesus and his kingdom is the outcome. And we're called to build his kingdom in the community that he's placed us in. Let me pray as we close today. God, thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus. Thank you so much for the call that you've placed on our lives and the mission to take the gospel to the world, to take truth to the world, and to build your church. And God, I pray that we will be a church that finds our strength in you. Lord, I pray that we will be leaders, husbands and wives and men and women of God that find our strength in you. God, help us to know the fight that's in front of us and the ways that you've equipped us, the weapons that you've given us. And God, help us to stand firm in you. Help us to be surrendered to you, surrendered to your purposes, surrendered to your kingdom, and knowing that we're walking after your purpose because it glorifies your name. And there's nothing that we would rather do, Lord. We're living our lives in worship and our lives as response to the gift of your son, to the sacrifice of your son. Lord, responding to his surrender and his sacrifice with surrender and sacrifice of our own doesn't seem crazy. It just seems like a wise response and the right response, God. So help us to respond and imitate your son as we run after you, Lord. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Movement Church podcast. Our vision is to be a movement of people finding their way back to God. We hope wherever you are, this message encourages you to take the next step in your relationship with Jesus. For more information about Movement Church, including attending a worship experience, getting connected, or to give online, please visit movementcolumbus.com.